gonna rock the shade, gonna scream my name, make you shout now, honey, gonna make you shout.
Whether you're an independent artist or a fan that loves them, makingascene.org is the place for you. For the music fan, we bring you in-depth interviews and CD reviews from artists who are on the cutting edge of original music. For the independent artist, we bring you articles on music business, recording techniques, gear reviews, and interviews with industry professionals that give you real-world information to help you negotiate the new realities in the music industry and give you the tools you need to move your career to the next level. We bring you new content every day. Makingascene.org is the number one resource for the independent artists and the fans that love them. Head on over and become part of the indie revolution.
Rock the shade, gonna scream my name, make you shout now, honey, gonna make you shout, make you shout, make you shout.
And now, here is an indie blues double shot from our featured artist today, Kenny Neal. And stay tuned for that interview. It comes up right after these songs.
It's been so long since I seen my baby face. I'm just sitting and I'm waiting now. Seems like no one can take her. I can't sleep at night. I just can't nap through the day. I can't go on no longer. Oh, living this way. I even miss your smile, baby, yeah. All the things we used to do. But that's alright, darling. Oh, I'm still in love with you. And it's been so long since I seen my baby's face. I'm just sitting and I'm waiting, oh. Seems like no one can take her.
how you've been treating me. Oh, I got to tell somebody how you've been treating me. Your mean, mistreating woman with your low-down, dirty way. I work hard all week, bring you all my pay. All I get in return is your evil ways. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody. You're a mean, mistreating woman, and I'm tired of your evil ways.
Neil from his brand new release, and we got Kenny on the line. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, man. Just getting ready to get back at it again. I'm so happy that we got the new album, you know, out May the 20th. And, you know, it's all good getting back to whatever we call normal.
Yeah, that is a very subjective term today, you know. Normal has been in a very strange place. Let's talk a little bit about your history first, because, you know, you've been on the show before, but I always want to give our fans an opportunity to really get to know an artist by where they came from, their journey to this point. So give us the story of Kenny Neal.
I was born in New Orleans, and I grew up in a little town in West Baton Rouge, called Irvinville, just west of the city of Baton Rouge. And my dad, his name was Rafe O'Neill, and didn't want to be a sharecropper, so he decided to go out, and the cheapest thing he can get as an instrument at that time was a harmonica. So he bought a harmonica when, you know, he turned about 10, 15 years old and got interested in the blues and started getting 78 records like Muddy Waters, Lil Walter, and all of these guys. And then he eventually started his band. And when he put his first band together, believe it or not, the guitar player was Buddy Guy. Came from 14 miles from my town that I grew up in, a town called Lesworth, Louisiana. Buddy Guy and my dad started this band. And they must have got pretty good at it because started to play around Baton Rouge, and they end up opening up for Muddy Waters. That's where it happened that night. It's a club here called the Temple Roof. And they open up, and Muddy was really amazed at what they was doing and the way they played, so he invited them to come to Chicago. And like at that time, in 56, Dad had just started the family. I was born in 57. So he didn't leave. He stayed behind. Buddy Guy went on to Chicago. So Buddy would always come back and visit. And as time passed, and then I got older, and I've been playing with my dad, Rafel, ever since I was 6, 7 years old. So I was always brought up in the juke joints on at Nays and with my dad. Throughout my teenage years, I was with my dad. When I turned 19, the guy called my dad and asked him, was it okay if I joined his band, come to Chicago? So he had to get permission from my dad first.
Okay.
Even that's me. And then I left home when I was 19 and started with Buddy Guy Band, going all over the globe. After a couple of years with Buddy Guy, I decided, you know what, I think I could do this myself. I started writing my own songs and decided I didn't want to play bass guitar anymore with Buddy. And I bought me a lead guitar and I started practicing and writing my songs and looking for record deals. And that's how I got started. So I have to give credit to Buddy for giving me that break to come to Chicago. Here I am now. 17, 18 albums later.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that process of songwriting. Because, you know, no matter what release you put out, you have to start with good songs. You know, that's the basis of everything. When you sit down to begin that process of writing, what is your mechanism that allows you to tap into the muse?
Well, one of them is that have to record the music first. Kind of, I guess, with me being dyslexic.
Okay.
Have to go with the music. I would go in and do tracks. The ideas, I'll come back and I'll listen to the tracks, and the tracks tell me what the song is all about. Kind of strange, but that's the way all of my music been written. To hear the music. Music will make me come up with the idea for the song.
Okay. Now, you know, of course, every songwriter has that moment where they have to declare the song, you know, done, you know, finished. And every songwriter has their way of quantifying when a song is ready, you know, to give to the band or the producer and allow them to put their fingerprints on it. What do you do to determine when a song is done?
Think my closure to the song is when I have fun with it, because if I think of a song like Louisiana, I have a song on my new album, and I'm talking about her. I named her Louisiana, and I started thinking about a story, and the story take care of itself. It's like song to write itself. Once I start, my mind get to rolling, and you know, for some reason I can put a closure to it within 4 or 5 verses. It's fun that way, because I walk around the room, I'll sing verse, and automatic, you know, for clicking my mind where go to the next line, you know. And it started to be real fun to do it. Sometimes I stop and laugh at it because it be so cool. Sometimes I don't expect for me to come up with that line. It happens. And I have to stop and laugh and say, wow, this is real cool, you know. I have fun writing a song. Not sitting down to a table, desk, walking around on the floor listening to the music. as I'm walking around with a pen in my hand, I'll run over and write something down, and I'll come back and play it again. And that's the way I have fun doing it.
Okay. Well, you know, every songwriter has their toolbox. You know, whether it's your cell phone to capture those ideas or, you know, I know you have your own studio and you lay down your own, you know, lay down the tracks. But what are some of the things that are in your toolbox that you find indispensable when you sit down to write?
When I'm driving down the highway, you know, and I'll take my cell phone out, I would have a melody in my head. I know if I don't get it now, never happen again.
Right.
The special ones I tried to get. I bet you I got hundreds of them. Because melodies is rolling around in my head all the time. And I've written songs from my windshield wiper.
Yeah, just giving you cadence.
Because when it windshield wiper is gone, like a metronome, and I hear different rhythms from it. Oh, I did that. Stuff like that. Just different noises that I hear. Oh, but, you know, it's kind of strange. I don't know where it come from, but it's there, and it happens. And when it's time for me to deliver, I take off a week of my time. I sit there, and it happens. Where it's coming from, I have no idea.
Okay. Now, you're known as a, not only as an artist, but you're also known as a producer. And you have your own studio. When you sit down to begin that process of recording and getting your sound, what do you like to do? What is your process in the studio that'll let you, you know, capture the sound you're looking for? Do you like to do live from the floor with the band, or you have more control and you track it and build it track by track? What is your process?
I like to sit down with board player, bass player, myself, the drums. Once I get my solid foundation with the rhythm section, I can work from there. My thing is going with the drum, keyboard, guitar, and bass. That's your foundation. And once you lay that foundation down solid, you know, you can build a high rise.
Okay. Now, You're a big proponent of Studio One, and you know, as I am, I'm that's what I use in my studio. And of course, they came out with the news that they were going to be merging with Fender Musical Instruments. What is your impression of that merger? I spoke to Jim Odom, you know, and he says that there are going to be some great things happening down the line. What do you see as the future of Studio One?
Well, you know, I got Studio One because, number one, it's not that I was looking for a certain type of company or thing like that. Because for me, it could be a type of equipment for myself. Because I know what I want to hear in my head.
Right.
So the equipment don't really make a big difference for me. The reason why I ended up with Studio One was because Isana's headquarters here in Baton Rouge. So I figured I was going to do some investing, do it with a company that was right under my nose. So if I have any problems, I just call them up and go over there. And I'm so happy I did because I got to know all the guys over there.
Right.
If I have a problem, they come in and they solve it right away. They'll change the equipment out and bring it back, you know. That's one reason, because I'm not too much on the new technology of equipment. I bought it because they was here in Baton Rouge.
Right. Okay.
So once I got got involved with them, and then the guys who design the board and create all of these different sounds, they're right here with me, and they're at the studio all the time. A lot of times they would come in load stuff that they haven't even put on the market yet. They just create it. They would say, hey, we got something. We need to come over to the studio and load it up for you. You know, stuff like that. So I was very, I'm glad I made that move. But I really didn't go after Studio One because of what they had to offer. But after I got involved with them, I really like it.
Yeah, it's a great software. I mean, I love the chord track and the arranger track and all those cool little features.
I'm having fun with it.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about the music industry. You've been in the industry a long time. You've seen a lot of changes that have happened. And over the course of the last 20 years, the digital revolution has evolved to the point where the consumer now has embraced streaming as a way to consume music. The problem with that is that now the consumer no longer looks at recorded music as a product to purchase. It's now a service. They expect it on their phone. If they hear about an artist, they want to be able to look them up, listen to everything they got. And really, for the cost of what they used to spend on a single CD, you know, they have access to over 100 years of recorded music. How has this shift in perception by the consumer affected you as an artist, producer, and musician?
It's a whole different world out there right now, and it's good and it's bad. It's good for the musicians. For myself, I'm catching up. I have a lot of people that surrounded me around me now that understand it better than I do. So I feel a little safer than I did a couple years ago, because I have somebody who understand it better. But when I say it's good and it's bad, because I have artists that would never be able to get their stuff out there. Because back then, you had to find a record deal, sign a record deal, and you would be the new artist. Now, anybody could out there and expose themselves through social media. So make a decent living at it without having to go out there and look for record deals. The business just have changed so much. I think it's going in a better direction where it give everybody a chance.
Okay. I definitely agree with you that, the streaming services have really opened a worldwide market for a lot of independent artists. I think the biggest problem is that, the big record companies had gone to Spotify and negotiated their own deal, which gave them a larger piece of the pie of the generated income and left very little for the independent artists that are out there. And the independent artists were given this, take it or leave it kind of mentality because of the fact that it has opened up these markets. And it really has gone to the point where it's decimating the music industry's middle class. You know what I mean? A lot of those artists that are not at the high level of stardom, but, those touring artists, the ones that depended on what happened at the merch table. What do you think needs to happen to kind of rebuild this world, this middle class in the music industry? Because let's face it, that's the wellspring where things come from. New music, new artists, and so on. If it's not economically feasible to create recorded music, we need to do something in order to bring back that incentive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and how you do that, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, you know, there's some technologies that I have seen that are coming down. One of them is streaming services that are built on this new technology called the blockchain, where they are claiming that, number one, they're going to pay the artists up to 90% of the generated income. And it's going to be run by the artists that put their content up. So no company can take control of it. And they'll pay the artist immediately upon a stream, because it's working off these smart contracts that immediate, when your music is accessed, it generates a payment immediately. What do you think of that as being the technology that will take over where Spotify has, you know, is now, that will be the new technology for artists?
This thing that can ever happen for us as an artist, because we never got a piece of the pie like we deserved.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy, because when I get paid quarterly, sometime I get these checks, you know, it's ridiculous, because record company got the biggest portion of it. And I get the nickels and dimes and pennies.
Right.
So for when I see that, I feel like I really been used. I mean, it feel real bad, because I'm knowing they had to sell thousands of records for me to even get this amount of money. Where's the rest of this money? If that can happen, I think that'd be excellent. We can finally get what we deserve.
Yeah, I think one of the objects of this new technology is to eliminate a lot of the third parties in the music industry. I had read an article in Billboard about how they looked at the music industry, and only about 12% of the generated income actually makes it back to the content creators themselves, the artists, the musicians, the songwriters. You know, and that's a huge disparity. You know, you take a look at the sports industry, they're, you know, between 45 and 55% of the generated income going to the athletes. We need to get to a point where musicians are getting the major bulk of that incoming revenue. You know what I mean?
We should, because we're the one that sat down and created it all. But, you know, I don't know if I should tell you this, but felt that way long time ago about it. So when I would get a new album out, bootleg my own album.
Okay.
So, a lot of times I was sold a record company, because I was there with the thousands of people watching me play. I would take my own product to the table.
Right.
Come home with 100%.
And you know what? People don't realize that monies that you make at the merch table is important on the road, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, the record company wants you to buy that merchandise from them at a ridiculous price, your own music back. I never felt like and let them screw me that bad. Oh, I did other stuff to survive it. I mean, I did it for years.
Okay. Hey, you know, that's fair.
You know, because it was my music, and then I sign a record deal, and then I have to turn around and pay a guy $7, buy my own music back, and then I have to sell it for $15, try to make a profit.
Yep.
Well, I wasn't having it.
And I don't blame you.
And so I went a different route. But I'll go to a company, and my merchandise will come back, and I'll have thousands of them. And I'll go to my concerts, I'll sell them. Come home with 100%. Record company go, how are you surviving out there? You never buy any records from us. You know, feel too bad myself, but I'm so happy that maybe somebody thinking the way I was thinking to be able to give the artist 90% of their money back. Happy that's happening.
Definitely. Now, you know, one of the things that happened when the pandemic hit is that a lot of artists started to look at the internet as a way to stay connected to their fan base. And they started to do, you know, live streams and working their social media. And some artists kind of realized that the fans really enjoyed this kind of reality show mentality where the brand now became the new product. You know, as we move into the future, when we want our fans to invest in us, we need to create that brand utilizing, you know, social media, you know, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, so on and so forth. How are you negotiating this world of content creation and social media marketing, you know, for your release?
Well, now for myself is that I'm hiring the people that have the knowledge to go out there and do it for me. Because, you know, I mean, I come up at a different time, and I totally understand how it works, but I just go out, get the folks that I think qualify to go out there and push it for me. That's what I do, actually.
Okay. So
I have a team working for me right now, a new album, and they're doing a great job. I just have to be there when they need me and I have what they need.
Okay.
So I provide it, and they go to work, and there's a lot of people out there that's understand it. So just build a team that can go out and bat for me.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your team. I know you're working with Patty DeVries from Devious Planet to do some of your PR. Tell me a little bit about your team and who's on it and that relationship you have with these, you know, your team.
Well, the relationship is good. First of all, we have to have a positive way of thinking, and we have to connect with each other, and we have to be there, and everybody have their part to play. Once the team is all pulling together, man, you can't go wrong with it. But, you know, with the record company, Off Records, and Patty and Bonnie and all of these folks are there. We just work together. And sometime we'll forget about it. We'll be on the phone and we'll start talking about, because, you know, I do a whole lot of other stuff than music, so I'm always telling them, oh, yeah, well, I was on my tractor today cleaning out some property, and or I was in the garage pulling an old car, and we'll get carried away talking about that. And then we'll come back to our music. So we have like a family relationship together. Oh, and that's very important to have everybody play a main key role and deliver and do your part. And we work together as a team, and it's great.
Great. Now, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. We're going to give everyone out there an Indie Blues double shot from your new release. You guys are going to love this. You know what? Turn it up loud. Screw the neighbors. We're going to have some fun.
Sitting on the bayou, waiting for Louise to come home. so tired. I'm tired of being alone. Since you've been gone, this old house ain't no home. Late at night, you got me pacing the floor, hearing voices in my head saying you don't love me no more. Louisiana, don't make me cry no more. Someone somewhere who loves me. I know someone who really cares. And I know someone who really loves me, y'all. I know someone who really cares. Until an angel hear my prayer, I'm not gonna get discouraged. And oh, I'm not gonna turn around.
And people, I'm here to tell you I'm not gonna get discouraged, y'all. And oh, I'm not gonna turn around. Gonna keep on searching till my true love can be found. Things come to those who wait, and I've been waiting a long, long time. And good things come to those who wait, baby, and I've been waiting a long, long time. Gonna keep on until I can call you mine.
Whether you're an independent artist or a fan that loves them, makingascene.org is the place for you. For the music fan, we bring you in-depth interviews and CD reviews from artists who are on the cutting edge of original music. For the independent artist, we bring you articles on music business, recording techniques, gear reviews, and interviews with industry professionals that give you real-world information to help you negotiate the new realities in the music industry and give you the tools you need to move your career to the next level. We bring you new content every day. MakingAScene.org is the number one resource for the independent artists and the fans that love them. Head on over and become part of the indie revolution.
Gonna scream my name, make you shout now, honey.